Hour number three, let's say hello to Scott Lewis, Editor-in-Chief, CEO, Voice of San Diego. It's a busy week for our friends at The Voice, as they are in the middle of PolitiFest, so we appreciate Scott Lewis spending some time with us. Good afternoon, Scott.
Hey, Darren. Actually, I took the day off just to prepare for this interview, because I'm back, and I knew a lot of people wanted me to be ready. I may have had a few other things to do, but mostly this.
How do you take a day off in the middle of PolitiFest? This is the most important week of Voice of San Diego's, like, entire year.
Yeah, I know. I put in a lot of work. They got it handled. It's good. I've been working. It's fine. It's good.
That's amazing. Boy, it's good to be the king, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I do. Take a lot of time off and chill. Yeah.
Who's in charge? Keats?
Yeah, we got Keats. We got Andrea Lopez Villafana. We got Julianne. Everybody's taking care of business, man. That's the you know, when you're a good manager. I don't know if anybody locally needs some advice on managers, but you can, you know, you got to be able to delegate. You got to be able to trust your people.
I hear you. I think that's a good. I think that's a good conversation, maybe to have somebody with somebody in upper management at the Padres organization. Since I'm reading between the lines what you're saying there, Scott.
Oh, I didn't imply anything. Okay, whatever you take from it.
Yeah, okay. By the way, we've automatically entered you in our pool. We got you down for Luis Rojas, just so you know.
Yeah. That's my guy. It makes total sense to me.
All right. Good. Hey, what an interesting week for sports journalism. You have a quick thought on all the email stuff that we saw from last week and the idea that reporters actually pass stories in front of subjects before they publish them?
Yeah. That was, it was really bad. I mean, in short, you know, it makes sense when you're doing work to check quotes or something with people who have given you those quotes. But to give an editor, as Adam Schefter's said to have done, to give a sports leader an opportunity to edit his story, then that's just one thing that it crosses a lot of lines. Now, look, there are two types of journalism in sports, right? There's the kind that follows the actual games, this reality of, like, who's going to play and how are they playing and when is it and who's going to win, all that stuff. And then there's the whole reality of sports behind it, like the finances, the health issues, the land use for stadiums, the economics, the labor disputes. And he was doing not a story about the gameplay, which would be one thing to run by, you know, the sports editor, owner guy, but he was doing a story about labor negotiations. And he's alleged, Adam Schefter's alleged to have showed it to the editor to the president of the Redskins and said, like, are you okay with this story I'm doing about your labor negotiations? Like, did he do the same for labor? And there's a lot of lines he crossed there. So, yeah, it's an opportunity to teach people you do not show your stories if you're a legitimate editor, reporter to your sources to get them to sign off. Again, you can run by facts with them, as you should. They shouldn't be surprised about what they're going to report. But you can't let them have that privilege. It was horrific to see. Yeah.
Scott Lewis, Editor-in-Chief, CEO from Voice of San Diego, joining us on Extra 1360. There's a little muddying of the waters today when it comes to some of the booster shot conversations, Scott, with the J&J shot. So I got to talk about this with Jack a little later on. So I'm really relying on you to say something super smart and important so that I can just steal this and use it a little later on tonight on Kogo. The booster shot convo about mixing and matching different pharmaceutical companies' brands, but we're not quite sure yet. And do you want a full shot or a half shot? Like, tell me this is all going to clear up somehow in the next couple of weeks.
I don't know, man. I think that...
good. That's exactly what I'm going to answer that when Jack and I talk about it. I don't know, man.
That's a good one. I think the most interesting thing I heard today is there's a lot of people pressuring Moderna and other these producers to do a Delta specific vaccination, and I think that what's emerging is that the general vaccination that they came up with for the coronavirus is actually still perfectly effective for Delta and is more effective for some of these variants than if they tried to do something special. I know that Moderna got the go ahead, you know, to get the booster. I still think the same thing applies that we talked about before. Keep those shots, you know, available for people who are immunocompromised, older people, have any kind of obesity or other things that might make things worse. But for healthy younger people, the two seems like it's going to be sufficient. And I think that as we go forward, boosters, you can take advantage of them if you feel like you're in one of those categories or you're close. But getting a shot still in an arm that has never gotten a shot is still far more valuable than getting a shot into an arm that's already had two. And so hopefully we can keep making progress on that. But the numbers look real good. We're now fully back in the in the 200s of people that are in the hospital, and even fewer, a lot fewer in the ICU. So numbers look good. Case rates look good. I guess we're back for opening number four.
Scott Lowe is joining us. You know, a college football coach, Scott, got fired yesterday from Washington State University because of a state mandate in Washington State that all employees, anybody employed by the state, for which a lot of state university college coaches and coaching staffs and teachers, they were mandated to be vaccinated. This guy had a seven-figure job, chose not to be vaccinated for what he claimed were religious reasons, though he never explained that. I don't know what religion that would be. They would presumably have heard his claim and denied it. And you know, we talk a little bit about the intersection of sports and vaccine mandates, and we've had these conversations before. I just wonder if you have a quick thought on maybe not so much the salary, because it's commensurate with what college coaches make, but the idea that now on a high-profile level, states are starting to fire employees for not accepting the vaccine mandate.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have this showdown coming. I mean, we're seeing something similar with San Diego police officers. KOSI, who's been defending people who don't want to get vaccinated, has been rallying people to try to go to a protest for the police officers that are resisting the vaccine on Thursday or Friday. And I think it is kind of odd to me. They're the most highly compensated city employees. They were the ones whose pensions were never touched, like other city employees were. And even among all this furor to defund the police or whatever, they've survived and thrived and gotten everything basically that they possibly could out of these negotiations. And yet still, they represent the group that's most likely to be resistant to this. And I just find it odd, of all the things we ask police to do, of all the horrible situations we put them in, of all the stress we cause them and all the different difficult situations they have to walk into, that this is the one that they're going to walk off the job for? I mean, it's like, wow, what is going on that this, among all the difficult things that we ask police officers to do, is the one that's going to cause them to walk off? And I think similar, like, of all the things that you get from the collective world, these aren't independent businessmen, you know, who have made their living and can do what they want. They have made their livelihoods off of serving the collective good. Even in the case of a basketball coach, and for them to, of all the things they have to deal with, take a shot that is proven overwhelmingly safe, with overwhelmingly good benefits for the public good, that's the way you're going to give everything up for that? Are you going to give back your pensions too? What else? What's going on here? I don't know if I want somebody with that kind of rational approach running anything for the public good. It doesn't make sense to me. Why? What's the collective? What is your approach to why the collective good is something you want to serve if you can't do this little thing?
You know, what's interesting is to take this to a different level. You know, Jack and I have talked about this. San Diego County should be very proud of itself because 80% of people in San Diego County are fully vaccinated. 89% at last check, Scott, at least one shot. Those are huge numbers. 80%. Think about that. You know, think about a county of 3.3 million people. 80% of those people are fully vaccinated, which is why we're not seeing some of this mandate stuff that we see in other counties, other cities, et cetera. But what Jack and I were curious, and I think this would be a fascinating story and a fascinating study, is there correlation between those kind of numbers and how people feel about mandates?
I don't know. I think that's a really good question because we've steadfastly, there's a lot of people like, oh, the vaccine, you know, stay away from. We have steadfastly, as a county, resisted, the mandate that everyone wear masks indoors. I was at Costco today, it was like half and half. And then B, the county of San Diego has steadfastly resisted what happened in other counties where they mandated that to go into any indoor event, you have to get a vaccination or prove vaccination or test. And I think, so it seems like high levels of vaccination participation actually correlate exactly to people not needing the mandates or being more comfortable resisting those. And so I think it's the numbers are good here. We're the only state in the country that was lowered to moderate level of COVID spread right now. And I think it's not a mystery that how well we've done on vaccines correlates with that. So I think in general we did a good job and because of that have not had to deal with some of those more restrictions.
Right. And I do wonder though, had there been the type of mandates like you're talking about, whether it comes to school mandates, some of the stuff for city employees, state employees, county employees, what have you. I don't know. I think it might be a mistake to think that just because 80% of the public here is vaccinated, that they automatically means that 80% of San Diegans support mandates. But I don't know what level of correlation there is on that front, but I'd be curious to find out.
Yeah, that's a good point. No, I'll put it in the old Slack channel for the journalists to nip at.
I like that. Good stuff. Scott Lewis joining us. All right. So last night on Kugel, we had a chance, Jack and I, to speak with David Malmuth.
Malmuth, who is
part of the first... on the second pass, the first attempt to build on the sports arena site. He joined us last night. He talked a lot about his vision. He talked about an arena. He talked about a park. He talked about traffic. He talked about soccer stadiums, all that sort of stuff. Scott, you've done a ton of work on this today. Here we go again. We love land use subject matter, especially when it involves sports facilities. So what's your first opinion on what you saw from the Midway Village Plus group?
Yeah, so I talked to them and got some background on some of the other things going on. It looks like there's going to be four, by the way, or three or four bidders this time. I've heard of two others. So all right, on the Midway Plus plan, they're the first, I think the first, to actually put out rendering. So that's why we're all so excited. Like, yes, there's a new group of a beautiful water painting. I think one of them described the water paintings as Monet-esque.
Yes.
Yes, it's very nice. So anyway, I think the big news in this one is two-part. One, they have a partner, Oakview, that builds these sports arenas all over the world. And they say they'll build a sports arena that they'll fully finance themselves without city taxpayer money. So I think there's a couple things to think about.
At an estimated cost, by the way, of $400 to $500 million, according to Malmuth last night.
Yeah, so just to be clear, A, that's amazing. But B, it's a little amazing. In other words, like, there's no problem with them saying something like that right now. Like, they can say anything they want along those lines, and maybe as, you know, this process goes along, you know, start to pare back expectations because, boy, we didn't think of this or that or whatever. So they also won't say exactly how many housing units they want to build, but they very clearly say that they're not going to use the money they make off the housing to build the arena. Again, this arena builder wants to do it all themselves. And the other thing is about the actual soccer stadium. So they picture basically replacing Phil's Barbecue in that area with, they hope, a permanent, not just modular while they're waiting for everything to get built, but an actual eventual permanent soccer stadium for the Loyal on that spot where Phil's Barbecue is right now. So,
by the way, should be pointed out, Phil's Barbecue has supported this and has jumped on board, so they're not being eminent domained out of that property. Phil's Barbecue has endorsed this early on this Midway Village Plus plan, right?
Yeah, so I think that, I mean, It behooves everybody to remember that all of that land is owned by the city, and part of what's happened is that they deliberately set in motion that some of these leases would run out around this time so that they could have these conversations about a big overall redevelopment. So I think, you know, we're still waiting for the rendering phase of this other group, Brookfield. They're planning on going forward. They're not at all promising a new arena in the same way, or maybe refurbished. You know, the same conversations they're having about affordable housing and other things, so we'll be excited about that. And then there are two other development groups, Con-Am and Monarch, that are looking at this as a thing. Monarch is run by a competent leader, Sarah Kruer, who's Also, Barbara Bree's daughter, by the way. So
Interesting, since Barbara Bree was so much against development, at least with the height limitations on that piece of property.
Yeah, there are different people pursuing different enterprises, but yeah, sure.
So one voted for Measure E, the other one was campaigning against Measure E.
Well, we'll see. Yeah.
Love politics humor. I love this.
I know, right? So I think what'll be interesting, so all we're doing now is this like idea phase, and then the city will put some of those forward, some of those more developed plans, whether it's two or three or four plans, through to the city council. The city council will say, okay, here's what we want out of it. And then they'll go back and say, like, okay, now we'll do a big negotiation with either the winner or with, you know, the two finalists, and they have to negotiate together, or they have to go come up with a third version. So this process is still at the very beginning. They'll eventually get to a best and final version, but that's still several months away. And they could force these two groups to actually work together on that, so that could be a fascinating development.
By the way, when Brookfield won the bid last time through, there were very few specifics about what they were going to do, and they were the winning bidder. details whatsoever about what they were going to do with their arena, whether they're going to refurbish it or make a new one. Like they never really got into the details about that.
Exactly. I mean, I think what they're fighting for is the chance to negotiate with the city about how it would look. That's literally all these renderings, all these promises about how many homes and what would be built. They're real in the sense that they have people saying that, and, you know, I'll build arena and stuff like that, but they're so not real. Like, it's all about the chance to start to really get to the brass tacks with city employees and then come back and present something to the city council that they can actually approve.
Mm, that's good research right there.
Dude, I told you. I was ready. I mean, I had like three people who were like, where were you on Darren Smith last week? So I'm like, well, I'm not going to mess it up this week. I got to deliver.
Yeah, what was the story last week? What happened? Why did Marty push you back?
Well, you know, maybe she just doesn't like me anymore. I don't know. It's fine. It's not a big deal. No, I don't know. It's fine. Marty's
the best.
You. Don't get me in a fight.
We will never, ever skip another day ever again. And one thing that I am positive of, like things might change. Like things might change, like in our sports world, whether it's Padres related or San Diego State. But we've got renderings that are that will last, that will keep this segment for the next, 7-8 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're gold. Every Tuesday, let's go.
I like
it. All right, deal.
Well, hey, renderings have actually come true now. Like, this is a new era of renderings because
Mission Valley has
taught us that renderings become an actual thing every once in a while.
We have an El Nino of renderings event occurring. There's an atmospheric rivers of renderings coming.
I know. I did like the Monet style with which they put out the... What was the dude doing fishing there in the middle of that park, by the way? Anybody ever figure that out?
He's showing his child how to fish, man. Like,
I mean, there's a creek a couple of blocks away.
Here's my thing. Like, I love fishing. I fish a lot. There's something about small bodies of water that freak me out about fishing. I do not want to ever fish in a little tiny pond. It grosses me out. I don't know why.
Really?
Yeah, like, go to the bay, go to the ocean.
What do you fish for? What do you do with the fish? You cook it? Eat it?
We caught a big halibut a couple months ago, and we ate that. That was good.
Really? Where'd you catch it?
Off Point Loma, man. 43 inches. It was a big deal. It wasn't me, though. I have to give credit to my friend. I showed him everything he knows, but he pulled it in.
619 number just texted in. No on a new arena. I got to get my steps in and my massage at Kobe's Swap Meet every weekend. But wait a minute. Kobe's Swap Meet also is one of the endorsers of the Midway Village Plus project.
Yeah.
They built an interesting group there, huh?
Yeah, I don't actually understand their reasoning behind that. I'm sure they've promised them something, but Kobe as it is won't be there, but they appear to be willing to set aside some open space to continue it in a different way. Yeah.
I got to get there one of these days. Scott, thank you very much. We missed you last week. Thanks for joining
us. Dude, thank you. Thank you, Marty. You're the best.
Scott Lewis, everybody, editor-in-chief and CEO from Voice of San Diego. Some TV listings coming.